the true and better one, Jesus. The Bible from the beginning has pointed forward to him and pointed forward to his terrible death on Good Friday. He is the true and better Adam, the true and better Abraham, the true and better Moses, the true and better David, the true and better Passover. The Bible has been looking forward to this day, to Good Friday, the day when the Son of God would die in our place. It was a terrible day, a day of pain and torture and crucifixion and loneliness and desertion and death. And yet a sacrificial death that brings us life. This is how one African-American preacher described this terrible day, Good Friday. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the world's winning. People are sinning and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Saviour's hands to the cross. They nail my Saviour's feet to the cross. And they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning. What has happened to their king? And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday is the coming. The suffering and death of Jesus Christ that we remember today is followed by his resurrection. And so, in fact, hope is not lost. Death has not won. Sin has not conquered. And Satan is no longer laughing. You see, we believe that the suffering and death of Jesus was part of the plan of God to deal with our sin and our rebellion. The true and better one had to come to die. That was our only hope. He had to come to rescue us from our sins through his sacrificial death. His death was not a defeat, but a victory. And this morning, I want to share four principles or four truths that come out from the scriptures on what Christ achieved through his terrible suffering on Good Friday. Firstly, Jesus died to absorb the wrath of God. He had died to absorb the anger of God, the judgment of God upon himself. Friends, we need to remember on this day, especially if you're confused about it, you're not quite sure what God is like, that God is just. He hates sin. He will not sweep our sins under the carpet. When you see sin around the world, be assured that God will bring justice. He will not allow sin to go unpunished because he is just and he is holy. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I say to you today on Good Friday that I am a terrible sinner. I deserve death, not life. And I'm so thankful that Christ absorbed the wrath of God on my behalf. But secondly, God is loving. He doesn't let me suffer the wrath of God, the judgment of God. He takes it upon himself. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice, or propitiation is the word for our sins. It means that because Christ died in our place, God's wrath, God's anger is removed through the provision of a substitute. I deserve to be up on that cross, but Jesus goes on up onto that cross in my place and absorbs the judgment that I deserve. He doesn't cancel the wrath of God. Doesn't cancel it. He absorbs it and he diverts it from us to himself. On Good Friday, when Jesus is hanging up on the cross, you remember that he took our guilt and our shame and he took God's judgment in our place. This past week, I met with a man on Monday, in fact. He wants to be baptized. He came to faith in Jesus Christ about a year or 2 years ago, and he said, I believe that I need to demonstrate my faith in Jesus through baptism as the Bible teaches. And he said, you know, I was converted in my mid-40s. He said, I was a good man with good morals. I even believed in God, and I thought I had a relationship with God. But what I didn't understand, he said, until I read the Bible, that I was a sinner and I needed Jesus to die for me. I thought by being moral and good that that was enough to impress a holy God. And that if I died, then I would somehow sneak into heaven because God takes good people there. And then I read my Bible and I did this course with you guys called Alpha. And I realized it makes no sense off the cross if I can get to heaven all by myself. He said, the problem with most of my friends is that they think they are good enough for God and they don't need a Saviour. Friends, Good Friday reminds us that we all need a Saviour. Secondly, Jesus died to showcase God's love and grace for sinners. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, the Bible says. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He saw us in our sin and our failure, and he said, I love you so deeply that I don't want you to go through your own judgment. I will go through the judgment for you. I will absorb the wrath of God for you. I love you deeply. And the Bible is clear that many of us, or many people in society, whether they're Christian or not, will often show love and sacrifice for others. And friends, on December the 14th in 2012, a terrible tragedy took place in Sandy Hook School in Newtown, Connecticut. 20 students and 6 adult staff members were killed by a madman. A 27-year-old teacher, Victoria Soto, sacrificed her life when she hid her students in a closet to protect them from the crazed gunman, Adam Lanza. When Lanza entered her classroom, she told him that the students were in the gymnasium. Go there. The terrified children, though, started running out of the closet and across the room, and he started shooting them. And Victoria Soto threw herself in front of the children, taking the bullets for them. See, the last moments of her life were spent protecting her younger students. The principal, Dawn Hochsprung, and school psychologist, Mary Sherlock, sprung into action. But they too were killed when trying to keep Lanza from entering the building. Teacher Lauren Rousseau hid her students in the bathroom in her attempt to protect the children and also died while doing so. The district superintendent, Janet Robinson, noted that these and other incredible acts of heroism, that they were incredible acts of heroism that ultimately saved so many lives. And so we can say that these women gave their lives to save others. And friends, when we hit Good Friday and we look to the cross, realize that God so loved us that he gave his life in a much more profound way, even while we were still sinners and rebels and enemies. Even though he could see our failures and our sins, he died to demonstrate his love for us. And Annie a moment ago sang about a thief on a cross next to Jesus, who hung up on that cross side by side with Jesus, and who came to the realization that he was a sinner and needed forgiveness. Now, the other thief kept insulting Jesus. Remember, there were two, one on either side. At the beginning, they were both insulting Jesus. And somewhere in that process of hanging up on a cross and dealing with one another and watching one another, one of them came to the realization that Jesus was the Messiah and he didn't deserve to die and that he was guilty himself. And in one of the greatest acts of love, when this man says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." Because that's outrageous. In his final moments of his life, he has no chance to make it up to anyone. He has no chance to go back and give money to the poor. He has no chance to be baptized. He has no chance to work it out and to pay back society for what he's done wrong. Nothing. Jesus said, "Yep, you're in heaven with me. Yep, you're in heaven with me." Because, friends, salvation is an act of God's grace. He demonstrates his love for us by his death on the cross, and he says, "Whoever will may come back to him." Thirdly, Jesus died to bring us forgiveness of our sins. It's all tied in together, isn't it? He dies in our place. He absorbs the wrath of God. He demonstrates his love. And one of the things we receive is forgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In him, in Christ, we have redemption or deliverance or freedom through his blood." Oh, the blood that cleanses me. We've heard about that this morning. "The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." In Acts chapter 10, 43, we read these words, "All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." You believe in him, you trust in him, all your sins are gone. How beautiful is that? It's Andrew Chan and Myron Sukumaran, you know them. They're in the media most days. For 10 years, they've been in a Bali prison. They once lived for themselves. They were once selfish. They were once after the money. It didn't matter what it cost other people. They into drug trafficking. It didn't quite matter to them is that they trafficked drugs and people took the drugs and some people died of that. They didn't really care that it destroyed families. And people went to their graves because they lost their children through drugs. They didn't care about any of that. Then one day, while they heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ while in prison, they were saved. They found forgiveness and were transformed by God. They are on Execution Island. We're told that the government will probably make a decision on Monday what will happen in their cases. Andrew Chan says, "It wasn't until I was in solitary confinement that I felt the need to be on the right side of God. People gave me a Bible to read and I read it. I read it four times, the New Testament, before I finally fell on my knees and cried for the first time in years. Admitting his sin and his failures, there was a God who loved him. There was a God who absorbed the wrath of God in his own body on the cross that he could be forgiven." As a result of that, Andrew Chan went to become the worship leader and the pastor and the evangelist in that prison. And Christian and non-Christian advocates now stand up for them, say these are completely transformed men who are now going to give back to society. And these two men are saying, "You don't have to release us. Just let us keep living. Because we want to serve the people in prison, to help rehabilitate other people in prison. Because we've met Jesus and he has transformed us." Jesus dies to bring us forgiveness of our sins. And friends, when you realize that you're a sinner who needs help, you need the cross, then you come home. If you don't realize it, if you think you're good enough for God, you're a good enough person, then you never come home to God. Fourthly, Jesus died to take away our condemnation. The Bible says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means you head to judgment day and you come before God and you don't have to fear God, you don't have to worry about God, because he says there is now no condemnation for those who are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So when I became a Christian at the age of 14, I had peace with God, I was secure in God, significant in God, I was accepted by God, and I had eternal life promised to me. And whenever you gave your life to Jesus, if you have given your life to Jesus, then you are now standing secure before God. There is no condemnation spoken over your life. You can be free, become the person God wants you to be because of Jesus. No condemnation. That is the hope that Andrew Chan and Myron Sukumaran are holding on to, that in Jesus, there is now no condemnation. You know, I remember being asked once by a man, he said, you know, you seem to be religious. They clearly didn't understand the gospel I believed in. Most people call you religious when they don't understand Christianity, by the way. You ever had that experience? Oh, I hear you're religious. Are you sure? Are you confident you're going to heaven? I said, absolutely. And before I had a chance to explain where my confidence was, because it was not in me, it was in Jesus, he gave me the confidence. He said, well, that's a bit arrogant, isn't it? How dare you think you are good enough to get to heaven? That's a bit arrogant, isn't it? I said, no, not at all. Because let me explain to you the gospel. I said, it's not about what I have done, but what Jesus has done for me on the cross. He absorbed the wrath of God. God demonstrated his love for me. My sins are forgiven, and God promises me no condemnation. And more than that, in the book of Romans, where he says this, at the end of Romans chapter 8, he also says, not only no condemnation, but no separation from God either. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation, no separation, all because of the cross. Friends, this has got to be the best message in the world. And when you get it, it releases you from guilt and shame and trying to be good enough for God, and you just live this radically different and new life at peace with God. You can live every day knowing that God is your friend. Live every day knowing that God now comes to live in you by his Holy Spirit when you turn back to him, that he gives you the power to live a new life. You live every day knowing that your eternity is secure. You live every day knowing that you can live life to the full on this planet because Jesus is in you and with you. Good Friday, the day that the true and better one, Jesus, died for us, to absorb the wrath of God, to showcase God's love and grace for sinners, to bring us forgiveness of our sins, and to take away our condemnation. I urge you, if you don't trust in him, to come home to him. He knows you. He loves you anyway. And he offers you forgiveness and a new life. Friends, it's Friday and Sunday's coming, where the truth of Good Friday will be vindicated. And you'll know that it's true, and he can change your life. Let me say, if you wanted to read some more and hear more about this Christian message, in the foyer next to the visitor's notice board, we have a couple of resources. Make them available for you today. Firstly, The Search. This is a copy of the Gospel of Luke out of the New Testament of the Bible. And have a read of that. There's some other resources there. Why Easter by Nikki Gumbel. It's a short book explaining why the need for Easter. And the little booklet called Two Ways to Live, The Choice We All Face. If you don't know how to start a relationship with Jesus Christ, you'd like to know more, pick up one of those books. If you'd like to speak to myself and the other pastoral team, I'd love to talk to you afterwards about finding forgiveness and new life in Christ. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. We thank you for the forgiveness we receive. We thank you for the new life that we can receive through him. We thank you that his death was not without hope, but his death achieved a great victory. It is my prayer, Lord God, that each one of us here this morning would hold on to believe that gospel. It is my hope this morning that all those listening on 90.1 FM this morning would embrace Christ, trust in him, and find new life in him. And I pray this in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.